welcome to Kansas City's Northeast Newscast. We have with us this week two guests from the Junior League of Kansas City, Susan Moss and Becky Hattigan. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the upcoming events that the Junior League has going on and a little bit about the Junior League in general and why we're going to have this conversation. So welcome to Historic Northeast Kansas City, both of you.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Well, thank you for coming in on this lovely, lovely rainy day. So, Susan, tell us a little bit about the Junior League's history. You've been active in Kansas City's philanthropic circles for over 100 years now. Tell us how that got started and some of the first activities of the Junior League.
Absolutely. The Junior League, we're in our 109th year here in Kansas City. Actually, it started a little bit before that. In 1911, we had a group of women sitting around sewing diapers for Children's Mercy Hospital. And in 1914, we became a Junior League, and we've been dealing with critical issues in Kansas City ever since then. We exist to try to help with the issues in the community. We're an organization of women whose mission is to advance women's leadership through for meaningful community impact through volunteer action, collaboration, and training. So we started sewing diapers for Children's Mercy way back before 1914, and we've touched...
You personally?
Not me personally. I'm not that old. I have been a member of the league for 20 years, but no. We've touched a lot of organizations, though, throughout our history. In fact, one of our sustainers, Mary Shawzy Branton, helped to found the Children's... TLC, Therapeutic Learning Center, which is now known as Ability KC. And Shawzy is actually through one of our fundraisers we're going to talk about in a little bit.
Okay.
We honor her for her work in the community. And we've done a lot through the Depression. We worked with the health clinic for mothers and babies, and we've touched a lot of different things throughout the city in our 109 years, 350 agencies that we've partnered with.
And the work that you did with Children's Mercy back in the day, that was right down the street, because we're sitting in our studio on Independence Avenue, and at 1717 Independence Avenue was the original Children's Mercy Hospital building that was founded by the Graham Berry sisters, and they lived right over here on Clinton Place. Anyway, I could go down that road, but I won't. But that was one of the very first agencies that you helped with your service.
Right. We also raised money to fund their cardiac care center, and we were a volunteer coordinator and parent consultant positions, and we donated thousands of volunteer hours to many of their departments.
And you've done work also, and we talked about a little picture that I have on my phone that was part of a collection. You did, you sponsored some work in Luce Park in the early 1960s as well, right?
We worked on the beautification and then the Japanese garden there as well, for two of our anniversaries, the 50th and the 75th.
As a student of history, I like digging those things. I like digging those things up. It's a lot of fun. So this is kind of new territory for the Junior League, is it not? You're expanding your reach, because most people would, they're down on Ward Parkway. No way.
We've actually been involved with the 5-county Kansas City area for most of our existence.
So coming into the historic Northeast community, Becky, maybe you can talk to this a little bit. Obviously, our socioeconomic, we go from the top all the way to the bottom. So you're expanding your reach into some of the underserved Kansas City communities.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that we're really thinking about as a league is how we can really be for everyone, because we really firmly believe that this organization is an organization for all women in Kansas City, and that we are an organization that serves all of Kansas City. So a lot of the event that we're talking about later on, I think, is about how we can engage across the board with a solidarity and not a charity mindset. So how can we set the table for these conversations to be had and maybe bring some of our traditional audience, which might not be as aware, and kind of build some of those bridges.
So you want to branch out from what would be considered a traditional audience. You want to do that outreach. I think what you said something about inclusion.
Yeah.
Before we got started, maybe you can expand on that a little bit.
Yeah. And I hope I don't speak out of turn. I'm here with our president.
Did I put you on a hot seat?
Right? Controversial. I know, for example, that before I joined the league, I had a certain perception of it. And I know since I've joined that it is very different from some of the stereotypes that I was a little nervous about joining. And I think we're just continuing to increase our visibility and let people know that, you know, we're a great option to come get involved in the community and to kind of boost your leadership skills, and that we have a lot to offer the current day community and to continue this legacy of, you know, impactful volunteerism.
Absolutely. We bring together the volunteers. We train them to go out and help in other organizations as well. So it's really a domino effect of helping to improve the community.
Yeah. What the impactful volunteerism, what exactly is that?
Yeah, so I can think of a few examples. So not to preview our event from later on too much, but one of the things that I think is really cool is this event that we're hosting is in Union Station. Union Station, there was like a bi-state initiative to help save it when it was in disrepair. The Junior League really led the charge on a lot of that. So we have, you know, people think of volunteers of like, oh, we're sitting around, you know, just doing very casual things, but we're in the community doing some really incredible stuff. And so it's all women power that's driving it all.
So you're not just a coffee clutch.
No,
boots on the ground.
Even from our early days, we were working with the Florence Crittenden Home, helping to be sure that the mothers had the care that they needed and that sort of thing. So we've always been about tackling those issues in the community to make the city a better place.
Outstanding. So let's talk about this event that you've got coming up on the 23rd of March.
Yes.
It's called C3KC. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that and some of the, and I'll throw this open to whoever wants to take it. Tell us a little bit about the event and let's talk about some of those panel discussions because you've got some pretty weighty stuff here.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll start with the general and then I'll hand it over to Becky, who's our C3KC co-chair for the specifics. So the C3KC is really a beautiful event that we're having. It's twofold in furthering our mission because not only are we bringing together three sectors of the corporate, the civic, and the nonprofit community to come together and talk about these critical issues and to try to spark change for a better KC. But in the process, we're raising funds because this is a fundraiser for us. And then we can take those dollars and put them towards our mission and make more impact through our community partners and our programming that we're doing in the community as well.
Do you care to tag on to that?
Yeah, you know, I think what's really incredible about this conference and part of why it was created is there aren't a lot of opportunities to bring all of those sectors of leadership in the community together. You know, you get a lot of conferences that are corporate focused or are focused on like nonprofit work, maybe some civic stuff, but we're said, you know, I mentioned the phrase setting the table because I think it's a good analogy. We're bringing all of these groups together with a focus really on collaboration. And I think another thing that is really exciting about this conference is, you know, we're not the experts in any of these topics, but what we're doing is reaching out in the community to bring those people in. And so we have over 40 different community entities engaged in the conference. And everyone there, the whole thing is planned by volunteers, people who just have a genuine interest in wanting to make something like this happen. Everyone who is speaking, with the exception of the keynote, is a volunteer who is volunteering their time and their expertise.
Who is your keynote?
Amanda Ripley. She's a New York Times bestselling author. She's pretty well known in the education space for her book, The Smartest Kids in the World. And she also wrote a book called High Conflict, which really we felt reflects a lot of, you know, what we're talking about during the day. The concept of the book is people can get stuck in this very high conflict feeling and tough conversations, and it becomes, you know, antithetical to getting any progress made. So we're very excited and think she kind of fits in well with the theme of the day, with the tough conversations that we have in a lot of really weighty panels.
Just as a sidebar to that, I would highly recommend, if you've read that book, I would highly recommend Richard Dreyfuss's new book, One Thought Scares Me. And it is a discussion of civics in America and why it hasn't been taught and the repercussions of that over the past 50 years. So whether you're Republican or Democrat, highly recommend that work. It kind of dovetails with what you just said, because he talks a lot in that book about let's let's build on our similarities. We're all Americans. Let's move forward with that and let's talk civilly instead of screaming and yelling and you're wrong, I'm right, I'm da-da-da-da-da.
That is exactly up this alley. I'll have to look that up later. And I think that also brings up another unique thing about this conference. For one, so focused on community engagement, it's a nonpartisan conference. We work really hard to make sure that we maintain that.
And one of your moderators is, she doesn't know this, but she's actually one of my favorite people. Ooh. And she actually came and sat down for a podcast with us about 3 years ago on women's health. And go ahead.
Oh, well, I don't want to say her name because I know some of the panelists have changed, but we've had some really impactful people speak on health equity, especially last year from the Health Forward Foundation. So I don't know if...
Joni Wickham, former chief of staff for Mayor James, and she works with Sly as a partner now. A lot of respect for her and the work that she did do with the mayor and the work that she's doing now. And she's moderating an early care and education panel with some what I would consider pretty heavy hitters with Early Start KC, the Family Conservancy, and a guy, Giovanna Rose, I think is her name, with Mark, Mid-America Regional Council.
Giovanna Ross.
Ross.
I believe, is that?
ROHS. Sorry. I'll just say it right now. So that's, walk us through some of these panel discussions, if you could. Early childcare education, maybe the national trends and the local significance.
Yeah.
What that brings, the national trends bringing locally.
Yeah, so I think the national trends local significance is how we're kicking off the day. And we have a lot of really high-level community leaders involved in that who are kind of seeing across the board and what they're engaged in. And it kind of sets the theme for the whole day, because if you look through our panel programming, we're tackling things that are a big issue nationally, but we're making sure that we're examining them from a local lens, not only with how we, you know, tailor the topic and the specifics we get into, but we're talking to local people on the ground who are doing something about these issues or who are engaged and really know the situation in Kansas City itself.
One of the panel discussions that I see is called the Reskilling Revolution, Long Life Training and Learning. And you've got a whole bunch of people here, a vice president, chief human resources officer, Dr. Dred Scott. I know who that is. My wife knows better than me, but I have a lot of respect for that guy too. And we talked a little bit about this ahead of our discussion. Is there anybody from the trades that is going to come and speak to this?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question, and we're always open to feedback and knowing how we can improve for next year. I know that the trades conversation was a big part when this topic was being formulated. Because we do know that the workforce looks different now, and the way to success through the workforce looks very different now than it did, you know, 10, 20 years ago. So that's definitely a part of the conversation. And a lot of the people we have speaking are speaking to kind of broader, you know, trends and things that people are seeing in the workforce. But I definitely think the trades is a part of that conversation. And it's maybe a perspective that we missed on a granular level of having that individual representation.
I know that part of the discussion and just in conversations that I've had with people and experiential, when I see college kids that college ain't their thing. So I'm going to come over here, and these are the guys that get into an apprenticeship and they're pulling down $30 or $40 an hour. I don't make that here. I'm telling you. So by all means, I think it's a discussion that needs to be had. Another one, and if jump in at any time, because I always tell people that, you know, sales training tells you have two ears and one mouth and they should be used accordingly. But one thing I do want to talk about is the houselessness issue. Mm-hmm. And it takes a village, harnessing community efforts through partnerships.
Yeah.
And those partnerships are so incredibly important. And you're speaking to a community that is impacted daily, sometimes hourly, with that issue. What can you tell us about that panel discussion, and what are some of the outcomes that you hope take place?
Yeah. You know, just to start off that panel in particular, when we were identifying topics for this in the beginning, there's a UMKC survey that talked about what were the areas of most concern and interest for communities. And this is number one. Like, this is clearly a big issue across the city. And I've had the fortune of getting to work behind the scenes on this panel. So coming at it from a layperson, I got to learn about so many incredible things that we're doing as a city for this issue. We have a lot of organizations that are focusing on new and sort of innovative models to tackle this. So Desiree Moniz, who unfortunately can't join us for the panel, but she was a big part in setting it up. She's the CEO at Avenue of Life. She talked a lot about this concept of collective impact, which is a social services model that is replicable and offers really tangible results. So, for example, their organization has gone into certain school districts, and by using a different definition of homelessness that includes broader things like if you're couch surfing, if you have too many people in one home, if you're anywhere at risk, by broadening their definition, they're able to meet students and their families early. And in certain school districts using this model have brought the number of homeless kids effectively down to zero. So they're looking to replicate that model, and they are replicating it nationally. And we also have organizations like the Veterans Community Project that have this really interesting model with the tiny house villages for veterans that, you know, they're broadening into different areas of the city as well. So they, all of these organizations work in very different ways, but the common factor that we're finding through, that I'm finding as someone new to this topic in all these conversations, is the idea that it's such a complicated issue. It's very complicated to become homeless. Each story is individual, and it's more complicated to get out of it. But all of these different systems that focus on collaboration, that focus on a full wrap of services, are having a lot of success in addressing this issue in a systematic way.
It's time to take a break to thank our sponsors. Shemeika's Online Market in Delhi, offering catering and nationwide shipping at shemeikasonline.com. Find their new deli at 16th and Swift in North Kansas City. Shemeika's, where customers become friends and friends become family.
From classics to campers, hot rods to hoopties, Seberg Muffler, your exhaust headquarters since 1974. Armor Road in Burlington in North Kansas City, Missouri.
And now back to the newscast.
So what do you say to... people that, you know, roll up at the stop sign, get away from my car, or, you know, that guy should just get a job, or just that, I guess, single focused or very tightly focused attitude? How do you get past that? Because I'll be honest with you. I was that guy. You know, you want to be standing there. I've interviewed homeless people before and say, well, we want to be out here. Okay, fine. Well, good. And maybe, you know, 50% of those people, it's a mental thing and they do want to be out there. They want to be off the grid. So how do you get past that attitude? And how does this panel address that?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. I think one of the things that really helps with that kind of mentality is talking through some examples of the combination of things or the smallest things that can cause someone to become homeless and to be in that situation. A lot of the organizations that we talk to, our moderators from Community Link, Lawrence Leek, and he's spoken a lot about all of these individual hurdles that have to be crossed just to get into a more stable situation. So if you have certain kinds of unpaid bills, if you have a license that is expired, there are so many small things that just snowball into something that feels almost insurmountable. And I think
it's a circle.
Yes, it's a lot of factors that go into it. And again, everyone's story is very, very different. And in talking with Brian Myers from Veterans Community Project, he brought up the example of, you know, their definition of homeless is, you know, based on these factors, we think you're, you know, this is where you're heading in a few years. So it's a lot of things that go into it.
I will say that like I said, that issue is very close to home for this particular community. Yeah. To that end, I don't know if you're familiar with Hope Faith, but Doug Legner is the executive director, CEO. And one of the things that he did was he partnered with the downtown CID and the Community Improvement District. And he put some of those homeless people that wanted to work, that wanted to break that cycle, he put them to work, you know, pushing a yellow trash barrel with a broom and a pickup stick. And it restored their, and he paid them a livable wage. I think it was $16, $18 an hour, if I'm not mistaken. But it was prideful for them. And it was a step out of that circle. And I think that's key. They got to want to take that step, but maybe they need a leg up. And I think Doug was that leg up. And, you know, you don't need a hand out, you need a hand up.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the things that I think of sometimes when I see someone on the street corner is like how much I, in my very privileged position, sometimes struggle with all of the things that I have to do. And imagining that you don't have a place to go at night or to sleep or to shower and trying to maintain a job and to do all of those things, like there's so much that goes into it.
Just the basic human needs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And as I mentioned before, we just wrapped up three different candidate forums. And at the one at last week's candidate forum, there was a gentleman. And we do it, and I do it by cards. You write your question out and pass it down the row, and I ask it. And it wasn't a question, it was a statement. And it was from a guy that had spent 2 years on the streets. And we talked after the forum, and he said, I used to couch surf, and he identified the house right down here on 6th Street. I slept on that porch for 2 years. And I pulled myself up. I realized, and he had the mental capacity to do this, mm-hmm. to make that jump. And a lot of these guys out on the street don't have that capacity.
Right.
But he said, I pulled myself up. I'm working as it was, he had a title with a real estate company, and he was going on to be an inspector for a commercial real estate company. And I was hoping he'd call me back because I gave him my card because I wanted to bring him in, sit him in this room and go, let's talk. Let's talk about the steps that you took and what's your life like now that you're off the street. And I hope this panel kind of touches on that. If I could get him, I would, and I'd send him your way because I think he'd make a great, you know, motivational speaker.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that'd be amazing. I think one of the things with the panel that I think is interesting is we have people. You know, we cover a different basis. So we have someone from UMKC that's talking about this, you know, academic model. We have the moderator who is very boots on the ground and working with these populations day in and day out. So we have someone from the United Way who's talking about it from like a philanthropic perspective. So we have a lot of broad ways that we're looking at this topic and telling this story.
And we've spent a lot of time on this topic,
yeah.
So I want to, but thank you very much.
Yeah,
I want to move on maybe to something different. You talked about philanthropic priorities and how those priorities evolve. Where does that conversation go, and how does it, I guess, chart the Junior League's course?
Yeah, well, I will just give a plug. We do have a panel on philanthropy to close out the day because we are definitely seeing that the philanthropy landscape is changing and what the role that philanthropy should play in, you know, benefiting society is, you know, a little bit different than it has been previously. So what are those priorities? How does it effectively loop into the community? And I think that's something that's also really important to us as a league.
And how are those priorities shifting? What are you seeing as an organization in terms of where they're coming from and where they're going?
So I think a lot of what we're focusing on as a league, and this has been something that we've been consistent about in our outreach to the community, is very similar because we've always kind of looked for ways we can plug in and prop up organizations who are already doing the work. And I think that's another trend across the community. What we're seeing on the fundraising side, so on that other side of philanthropy that affects us as an organization, is that people want to see that impact. It's shifting from to a very like personal either employee effort or individual philanthropic effort, where people want to know, like, how does this help with DE&I initiatives their company has, or how does this loop into priorities that they have that are existing? And that's becoming increasingly important for employers, for example.
Yeah, there's a big push for the corporations to have that responsibility.
For the philanthropic?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I would agree. And even here with us, we have a staff of four, but that's still something that's important to us. So we try to make that a part of our daily lives. And sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. But, you know, because like I said, we're four or five people here. So, but if you multiply that out into the some of the larger employers in the city, there, you know, you could have some big impacts.
Yeah.
So tell us kind of an overview, 30,000 feet. Your event is what day?
It is March 23rd at Union Station, which, again, Junior League helped to make sure that we have that wonderful location.
I see. You looped that back.
Yes.
Okay.
It is a day with fantastic energy. I will say one of the things that I love best about it, and I've been for 4 years, I'm very passionate about it. The energy in that room is fantastic. You're spending a day with people who want to spend a day simply talking about what we can do to make Kansas City a little bit better. Our whole theme is to spark change for a better Kansas City. And we do that through collaboration and the conversations that are had. You know, we have had some success stories, and sparking change doesn't mean that we solve a whole issue in the community, but it can be very personal. We've had attendees come away and start their own nonprofit to support children's mental health. We've had speakers who had a small nonprofit organization who met funders and expanded their operations after attending. So it's a really cool thing to kind of set a little bit of a butterfly effect in the city, if you will. And I encourage everyone to come spend the day with us.
Tell us what the butterfly effect is. What does that mean?
Yeah. So it's, I hope this isn't just based on an Ashton Kutcher movie and that it's an actually for that. But it's this idea that these small things, if everyone does a small thing, if everyone learns something new, sees something a little bit differently after this conference.
Changes a paradigm.
It does. It changes a lot. So we're really excited and hoping to continue doing that.
So if you can change one mind on this houseless issue and that one mind becomes a resource for you, that's a success for that panel discussion.
Yes. Yes. Agree.
So it's next, the 23rd of March? That's a Thursday?
Thursday.
Yes. Okay. And it runs from when to when?
It runs from 8:30 to 4:30. That includes a networking hour and a half. We encourage people to stay because it's a great time to get to talk to the speakers that you saw talking earlier in the day. We have a sit-down lunch with Amanda Ripley, as I said. And
right. We also are honoring Dr. Michael Weaver with our Branton Hall honor. And that's named after two of our sustainers, Shazi Branton and Adele Hall, who both won the highest award offered by the Association of Junior Leagues International, which is the Mary Harriman Award. And just for all of the fabulous things they've done in the community. And so he kind of exemplifies those wonderful things that they've done. He was at St. Luke's Hospital for over 40 years. He recently retired, but we're honoring him for his commitment and leadership in involving healthcare equity and clinical diversity in Kansas City and beyond. He's had a commitment to providing sexual assault survivors with comprehensive, compassionate, high-quality care, and he's also the president and CEO of the Mission Vision Project, which advocates for underrepresented minority students in the healthcare industry. He's fabulous. I had the chance to sit down with him for lunch. I'm super excited.
I'm so excited. I have to say, I got a chance to watch his video that he did for the event. So spoiler for anyone who's going to be there, but it made me tear up.
Okay, so how can... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I just said he's incredible. It's awesome to hear about his work.
And how can people get tickets?
Yeah, so go to jlkc.org/C3KC, and you can purchase your tickets there.
And what's the price on the tickets?
I believe we are past the early bird deadline, so I think they're at $125. Okay. We do have group ticket rates and rates for like educational organizations.
So nonprofit rates would apply. Educational rates.
The educational rate is for students.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you would encourage students to attend this event as well?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And what would be, is like students from what grade up?
So college students. Okay. It's a pretty heavy, there's a lot of, I will say, even though we're tackling a lot of heavy things, we really focus on solutions-oriented conversations, empowering conversations. So while the topic matter is very dense, it's a really positive, uplifting experience.
So somebody 18 and above. Yes. Would be okay.
Yep.
Or a high school debater. We go down that road too. anything else that I've missed that you'd like to cover for this session?
You know, I think the one thing that I just want to reiterate again is this is a really collaborative labor of love for the community. It's all about bringing people together to talk some of these things through and to be inspired by what some of our community members are doing. And a lot of people, everyone there, again, it's all volunteer planned and operated. And it happens because people just genuinely are very passionate about this city.
And I would just say Becky, Emma, and Jeannie, our three co-chairs, have worked tirelessly with their committee to pull together the experts to make this a phenomenal event. We actually won an AJLA award, that's the Association of Junior Leagues International, mm-hmm. a couple of years ago, just because this is such a groundbreaking, phenomenal event that we've created here. And I hope that everyone in the community comes to join us to spark change for a better Kansas City.
And it's all about the outreach.
Yes.
And sparking that change.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Great. Listen, thank you very much. Susan Moss, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Becky, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we hope your event is awesome, and we appreciate you coming in to join us.
Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.